Welcome to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. And while I'm saying hello to you in part two, I'm going to say hello to some more people in the live chat. There's Michael O'Malley, Snowman, Mark Tobin, Just Me, Sebastian Sanchez, AJ, Gavin, Anthony, Lucky Left, Ezra, Corey Gast, Super Steelers. I wish they were Super Steelers this year, but at least we have a Super Steelers in the live chat. Wes Hickok. So let's see if we can find some interesting comments before I start part two. Here's one from Gyro. Mike T went from coach of the year favorite to on the hot seat. Ain't that the truth? He sure did. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Groundhog Day every offseason with this team now. Going back to, they had a nice run in 2015, and they had an even better run in 2016. But since that Super Bowl in 2010, the Super Bowl 45, it's been the same thing every year. It seems like they get bounced in round one, or they barely miss. You know, so it's getting a little old, and I can see where people would be frustrated with Mike Tomlin and Art II and Ben and you know, how they would want to, you know, why they would want so many, they want to start over, basically blow the whole thing up, which, I mean, I don't know if that's necessary because they have such a great defense. I don't think you have to blow anything up at this point. You just have to hope that, for example, if you do bring everybody back except Bud, which I don't know if that's even possible because Mike Hilton's going to be, he's going to command a huge contract, I think, in free agency. And even Cam Sutton acquitted himself quite well last year. So he put himself on the map, and he's a free agent. So maybe he'll be too expensive. But, you know, provided you can hold on to one of those guys and provided you don't cut Joe Hayden, you're still going to have a pretty good defense even without Bud. The only question is, can Alex Highsmith make that leap in a second year, which I'm confident that he might be able to, you know, he's definitely – dedicated. He's definitely a hard worker and a quick learner, and he has the ability. He has the aptitude of to rush the passer. So you have a great defense. So I don't think it's necessary to blow everything up, but you might have to make a lot of tough decisions and hope that the guys you keep can keep you in contention. I don't know. I mean, I don't know which way they're going to go. That's what I mean. They're at a crossroads. I mean, they could blow it all up. You know, they could cut Ben and go with Mason. I could see them releasing Ben or him retiring and them just going with Mason Rudolph for a year. Because even if you free up $19 million, I mean, you're not going to have the kind of room to bring in people keep talking about Deshaun Watson or somebody like that. Which, I mean, if Ben retired, I would sign my name in blood for, like I said last week, for Deshaun Watson. But I don't think that's realistic. So I think what you're going to do is you're going to go with Mason Rudolph for a year. It's the final year of his rookie deal. So you're going to say to yourself, well, we got to find out about this guy. We drafted him. We traded up in the third round to get him. We had a first round grade on him, and we just have to find out about him. I mean, before we move on and make other decisions on this very important position, you know, NFL quarterback, we have to find out about Mason. And if he acquits himself well, then maybe you can get yourself a fairly inexpensive, really good quarterback. But that's just speculation. I don't know. What I do know is, and that brings me to my next topic, is they fired Randy Fichter, the offensive coordinator. They didn't renew his contract. Same difference, right? They're not bringing him back. And this makes a lot of people happy. And I wrote a sarcastic article about it when I heard about it yesterday. And, you know, a lot of people had good points in the comment section. You know, you're crazy if you think that they didn't need to make a change. And that's not really what I was pointing at. My point was, what's it going to change? I mean, this is their fourth offensive coordinator, or it will be, whoever they hire, since 2011. And, you know, what's the common denominator? And that's Ben Roethlisberger. You know, and at this stage of his career, you know, is he going to accept an entirely new philosophy, offensive philosophy by somebody, a radical change? No, he's not. So, if Ben does stick around, what's going to happen is they're going to bring in somebody that he's comfortable with, not necessarily a friend, but somebody that he respects and he's comfortable with, somebody who maybe is better at game planning, situational football than Randy Fichtner was, somebody like that, but somebody who's not going to radically change the system, and somebody that's going to allow him to be him. So my point is, okay, you got rid of Randy Fichtner, but what's it really going to change? Because it ultimately comes down to Ben and what he likes, you know. And if you do bring in somebody that wants to make radical changes, well, Ben's probably just going to say, well, see you around. I'm done. I'm going to retire now. So that's my thing. So, yeah, they fired Randy Fichtner, but is it really going to change a whole lot for 2021? I mean, if Ben sticks around, it's probably going to be status quo. And if he retires, you're going to be worse off no matter who the coordinator is. That was kind of my point. And honestly, I just get frustrated with reading the same things over and over again since the late 2000s. You know, I remember, excuse me, I went to the season opener, the 2009 season opener, you know, after they won Super Bowl 43, my then girlfriend and I went to that game, Thursday Night Football against the Titans. And within 15 minutes, somebody was screaming, you know, this is why I bleep and hate Arians, you know, somebody in our section. So, you know, you just hear the same things over and over again about offensive coordinators. You know, it's like I was counting in my head today. Since Cowher took over in 1992, I think they've gone through 11, maybe 12 offensive coordinators, and they've gone through half as many defensive coordinators. And there have been some great defenses here, but there's also been some bad defenses, especially this past decade or so. So, you know, it seems to me like it's a thankless job being an offensive coordinator, and you wear out your welcome pretty quickly. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if a year or two from now, whoever they hire, you know, his offense is quote-unquote too predictable. He's throwing too many bubble screens. He's not establishing the run, you know. So that's kind of my point about that. Not that they didn't need to make a change or should make a change. It's just like, is it really going to change anything? But they are going to bring in a new person. And if you're asking me who I think they should get, I'll tell you who I think they should get. I think they should get somebody who used to be a head coach, somebody like a well-respected person, like a Jim Caldwell, somebody like that, somebody that Ben would respect. Because if they try to bring in a young hotshot, you know, 35-year-old, you know, is Ben going to respect that guy? Is he going to listen to somebody who's younger than him? Because, you know, Ben's not exactly the easiest person to deal with. I think we can all admit that. I mean, you know, most franchise quarterbacks are pretty egotistical, right? And I think he falls in that category. I mean, I think he had a lot to do with Todd Haley getting fired, and he probably had a lot to do with Randy Fichtner getting hired. So, you know, he kind of calls the shots in a lot of ways and within the organization. So is he going to listen to a guy that doesn't have much experience in the league, you know, who might just be like a hotshot name? Like, for example, is he going to listen to Adam Gase? I mean, Adam Gase, it would seem like you're hiring Todd Haley, or even Matt Canada seems like that kind of guy. Like I've heard things about him. He used to be Pittsburgh coordinator, and you've heard, you know, some things about him and his ego. So is Ben going to want to work with that guy? I don't know, but maybe he'll work with a Jim Caldwell. Maybe he'll work with a Doug Peterson. Maybe he'll work with a Norv Turner, you know, somebody who commands respect simply because who he is, not because he's a taskmaster and he's got a big ego, just because who he is. Like, you know, like if Tony Dungy, as nice as Tony Dungy came in here right now and was a defensive coordinator, the players will respect him just because he's Tony Dungy, not because he's a hard ass. It's because he's Tony Dungy. You know, so somebody, if they could bring in somebody like that, somebody with, a wealth of experience and knowledge, and somebody who maybe Ben could listen to and wouldn't, you know, want to throw him under the bus or anything like that. Somebody that he would respect. I think that's who they should bring in. I don't think at this stage, if Ben's going to stick around, he's not going to stick around for some young OC. He's going to only stick around for somebody who's going to make him feel comfortable. And I think that's who they should go with. Those are my thoughts on that. I mean, I'm kind of jaded when it comes to the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to lie. I don't know a lot about that kind of thing. I realize that that Haley was a lot different than Bruce Arians in this approach, and he was a great game planner, but he was pretty horrible at situational stuff. Whereas maybe Fichtner had a good run with the situational stuff early on. You know, it helped that he had AB here too in his first year. So I realize that there's differences with all these guys, and you can maybe bring somebody in who can tweak, maybe not radically change things, but tweak them. But I'm just jaded by the whole OC. It's like with the goalie in hockey. It's like, that's the first thing that people always point to is they need a new goalie. The goalie sucks. Get rid of him. You know, people love Marc-Andre Fleury now, but I remember when he was here and people hated, people couldn't wait for him to leave. Now all of a sudden he's a saint and he's ascended to, you know, Penguins heaven. And now he's canonized. But when he was here, fans didn't necessarily love him. I remember when Matt Murray was great, and then they couldn't wait for him to leave. Now the Penguins are two games into the season, and I'm already seeing some things about Jari. You know, get rid of Jari or bench him or whatever. So, you know, that's kind of like what the OC is to me. It's like you don't hear a whole heck of a lot about defense. Like, why did they blitz there? Why didn't they? Why were they playing zone? I mean, you do hear about that, but not you don't hear about you don't hear the criticism about defenses nearly as much as you do offense. Because I mean, if a play doesn't work, well, naturally you could say, well, they should have tried something else. So that's my whole thing with the offensive coordinator. It's like, you know, I'm not going to be like ecstatic with whoever they hire. I'm just not going to be. I'm keeping it real. I'm not going to be over the moon with anybody, because, you know, I liked Arians, but nobody else did. I didn't like Haley, but he was really good. And then people hated him. I was okay with Fichtner because I thought he would be like, he would keep the Haley game plan, the Haley philosophy, but he would just be nicer with Ben. He would be easier to work with for Ben. But then people turned on him. So I just like, whatever, whoever they hire, I'll be fine with. So I'm just over the whole OC discussion. So those are my topics for the night. And I will open things up to some questions. So let's see what you got. I'm going to bet it's a lot about the draft and Fichtner and true to point. Let's see here. We have here. I'm seeing the word. I'm seeing Tomlin's name in the same paragraph as and clown. So let's see what this is from Brad Williams. Tomlin is a sellout, covering his own butt. What a clown! And the Rooneys won't even fire him because of the race thing being so big right now. The organization is about to become the new Browns. Well, that is a kind of ridiculous thing to say, Brad. I've said this a million times about. The Rooney rule and Tomlin and the Rooneys maybe worried about that. If they were so worried about the quote unquote race thing with Mike Tomlin and how that would look, since they were the people who since Dan Rooney was the architect of the Rooney rule, why would they just hire another minority coach? I mean, there's plenty of good ones out there. Eric Bieniemy, he's always getting passed over. He's the OC guru with the Chiefs. I'm sure he would come here in a heartbeat. So I don't, to say that is kind of ridiculous, but whatever. I've heard worse. And here's one from Black and Gold. Is there really no chance we can re-sign Bud? Well, I mean, I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and he insisted that they cut Ben and free up money so they can re-sign Bud. Well, I mean, you think about what a guy like that's going to command on the open market. You know, say they don't franchise tag him again, which why would they? After coming off of a major knee surgery, you know, he had a torn ACL at the end of the year. But, you know, provided he does rehab all the way back, he's going to command, I'm guessing, upwards of around $15 million a year. What did he make last year on the franchise tag? $16 million, something like that, $17 million? So you figure that's what he's going to want for an annual contract. Now, maybe teams shy away from him because of the injury. I don't know. I mean, I doubt that they will, but say that they do. Maybe you can get him on a bit of a discount. But I think at this point, when you're so strapped by the salary cap, I think you're going to try to save money whenever you can, wherever you can. And I think, you know, they signed Alex Highsmith, or they drafted Alex Highsmith last year with the purpose of him being Bud's replacement. Sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and hope that the young guy can replace the superstar that you can't afford to sign. I mean, they have TJ Watt. He's going to command, I'm guessing, between 20 and 25 million a year. Can you really afford to put that much money into one position? I don't think you can. You know, I mean, I referenced Bill Cowher earlier. He had a lot of great drafts in the 90s, and it seemed like there was always somebody waiting in the wings to replace a free agent. And they did that for many years until it caught up to them in the late 90s. And they had to kind of start over. But is there a chance they could sign Bud? I mean, I think there's a slim one, but I wouldn't bet on it at all. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet much money on it, I should say. Here's one from Tyler W. Maybe we start investing first rounders in offense. Well, I mean, they've certainly invested in the defense. It took them a number of years, and you know they had to swing some trades. You know, they went out and they got Minka. Of course, they had to get lucky with Joe Hayden becoming available, the Browns releasing him. So you know it took them a while to rebuild the defense, but now the defense is, I don't want to say set, because you're never set in the NFL, but the defense is in, I think, provided Devin Bush comes back and excuse me, and Alex Highsmith again makes that leap in the second season, I think your defense is in pretty good shape. So maybe it's time to start investing in the offense. And you know, a lot of people are suggesting the offensive line, because you know, I think, you know, I mentioned Villanueva, Pouncey, DeCastro. I mean, you know, there might be a huge overhaul. You know, with the Hogs, you know, but having said that, you know, you still have Shooks, who I think is shown promise, and Zach Banner, who they like. He'll be coming off of an ACL tear, but, you know, I think, you know, they earmarked both of those guys to be their future tackles before last season. I think they kind of expected to move on from Big Al before 2020 even started. And of course, you have Kevin Dotson at guard. I think he screams, Pro Bowler. I mean, he looks like he's headed for that kind of career. So, you know, I think maybe you start with the line, but you're also, I think, in better shape than people think with the line. I think you have a few good prospects there. And Matt Filer, who's, you know, maybe he's not cut out to be a guard, but he certainly had a nice run at right tackle. Maybe if Zach Banner or Shooks, maybe if you're not happy with them, you know, Matt Filer is still pretty young. I think he's still in his late 20s. He might want to raise, but he's not going to command, you know, mega bucks, so maybe you can retain him, and he could be one of your tackles, you know. So I think you're in better shape on the line than I think people realize, but I certainly wouldn't be shocked if they invested a first round pick maybe at center or guard, you know, to maybe not replace the catcher right now, but maybe in another year or two. And of course, you know running back's always it's always a priority for a lot of fans. And after this season, it's hard to argue. I mean, I think the running game showed so much promise early on with James Conner and even, excuse me, Benny Snell, but then it just faded away. And you can, maybe a lot of that was due to the line, but I think you have to look at running backs too. Not in the first round. I think the new first round for running backs is the second round. I think you can get a first round caliber talent in the second round. So I think that's another place maybe they have to invest a high draft pick. possibly tight end. I think, you know, it maybe, yeah, you like Eric Ebron, you like Vance McDonald, but I think it's time to get a young stud at that position. You know, somebody who can maybe replicate what a lot of the young tight ends are doing. Guys like Kelsey, although he's not that young, but you know, he's certainly the best in the business right now. But somebody like that, you know, So maybe, you know, it's time to invest in the offense again. Here's one from Ezra. He says we might go cornerback in the first round. That's always I'm pretty curious as to why you would say that, because they have Steven Nelson. He's obviously a really solid player, and Justin Lane is a third round pick. He saw a lot of playing time last year. Maybe he's ready to make that jump as a starter. You never know. Here's a philosophical quote, comment from Felicia Ballard, one of our regulars. Like Teddy Pendergrass song says, I think I better let it go because Bud's too much. The O-line is too old and Ben is about to hear his own voices in his head during the offseason. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. That's a good point. I don't know. They're definitely at a crossroads. Here's one from Thaddeus Kennedy. Can you tell us your picks for weekend games? Gosh, you know, I'm not going to lie. Ever since that game last Sunday, I kind of took a break from the NFL. I just needed a break from the NFL. I like the Chiefs over the Browns, of course. let's see who the Ravens are playing, the Bills. I like the Bills in that game. I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the Bills for the AFC title. I'm not going out on much of a limb there. Although I think a lot of people like the Ravens. The people are always high on the Ravens, especially when they're a wild card team. People just love the Ravens as a wild card, and they're certainly that this year. As far as the NFC, I'm going to go with the Packers and the Saints. I like the Rams a lot, but their quarterback situation is so horrible for being in a division around the playoffs. I mean, they have a good defense, and Aaron Donald is supernatural, but he's not that good. He's not good enough to make up for Jared Goff and his fractured thumb. So I look for the Packers and the Saints to survive this weekend. Although you never know. I mean, I was shocked to see the Seahawks go down last week because I thought they were a strong contender. But so those are my picks. I went with the chalk, right? You know, I don't like the Buccaneers, but obviously you have to like what they've been able to do. But I don't see them going far or much further than the divisional round. Here's one from Wes Hickok. Farley in the first round, I can get behind that. I don't even know who that is. I'm not going to lie, Wes. You know a lot about the draft. A lot of you guys are just real big draft nicks, but I haven't even thought about it yet, honestly. I mean, it takes me a while to ramp up for the draft. I'm not going to lie. Some people, they're ready to go 10 seconds after the Steelers' last game. They're ready to go with mock drafts. Me, it takes me a while. I gotta, you know, process the end of the season and you know, deal with that. Although, believe it or not, this might have been the least depressed I've ever been after a playoff loss. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was like the Steelers, and just kind of fizzled out down the stretch. Maybe it was the pandemic and watching all these games in empty stadiums. Maybe it just kind of got to me, and I wasn't that emotionally upset about it, other than, you know, seeing Ben, you know, weeping on the sidelines. Of course, it could be my new job too. It's beating me up with the overtime, so maybe you know, that has something to do with it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who Farley is, but I'm sure we'll hear a lot about him. Here goes Michael O'Malley. Go O-line the first five picks. Well, there you go. You know, I think they did that one year. They went, was it 2012? They drafted DeCastro and Mike Adams, 1 and 2. So let's see what else we have here. Wes Hickok says Lane sucks. Well, there you go. Maybe that's why they go cornerback in the first round. Wes knows the stuff. So if he thinks he was right about Jalen Samuels, I gave him a hard time all season about Jalen Samuels, but turns out he was right. Jalen Samuels was just a former fifth round pick. Let's see here. Here's one from Mr. Todd. I guess he's referring to me. Add guests every now and then, but you're solid. Well, there you go. I don't know. I don't even know who I would add as a guest. Here's a comment from Michael Froman. All the fake Steeler fans, go ahead and put Mason in and see what happens. I don't know if it's more about putting Mason in or moving on from Ben, but if they do move on from Ben, that's my guess is that's what they would do. They would go with Mason for a year because I think that's what you almost have to do that at this point, just to see if you could develop him into a decent enough quarterback that where you don't have to break the bank and pay another guy what you've been paying Ben all these years, which has kind of held the team back in a weird way. That's the what's the word I'm looking for? The paradox of having a franchise quarterback. They say, a lot of people say, your best chance of winning with those guys, especially in this era, is during their rookie contracts. Because once they become superstars, once they get in that second and third contract, they want, you know, 35, now it's 35, 40, 45 million a year. That's a big chunk of your salary cap. So, you know, maybe, you know, they owe it to themselves. Again, to find out about a guy like Mason Rudolph before you go out and invest a first round pick in somebody, before you go out, maybe sign a free agent veteran like a Phillip Rivers, like a lot of teams did this year with those kind of guys, or maybe you make a play for Deshaun Watson if he really is that disgruntled in Houston. Before you do all that and take on that much that kind of salary again, maybe it's in your best interest to find out about a player like Mason Rudolph. That's I don't know. Here's a question from Thomas L. Or Thomas Selly, I'm sorry. BTS Steelers Radio. Are the rumors true that Marquise Pouncey is on the verge of retirement? Well, I mean, there are definitely rumors out there. Whether they're true or not, that's anyone's guess. I've read 50-50. You know, I could see, I could certainly see him walking away. I mean, that may have been another reason why Ben was crying on the bench. Maybe they were talking and maybe Marquise said, you know, I'm done, man. And, you know, they're really tight. And maybe Ben, you know, got emotional for that. But I think it was more because he realizes that, you know, he may never get back to the top again as a quarterback. And on that note, I've rambled on. I've enjoyed your company tonight. So I think I'm going to bid you adieu. This is my Sunday. Tomorrow starts my Monday. It's my new work week. It begins on Saturday. So I'm going to be looking forward to Wednesday night when I'm off again. So on that note, I will say good night, and I can't say go Steelers anymore because they're not going anywhere for a year, or at least until next August. But I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon, hopefully on the Hangover on Monday. You guys have a great weekend.